It's the great Dante Read Through.
It's the great Dante Read Through, where we are reading through all of the comic strip, The Adventures of Nicolai Dante. Co-created by Robbie Morrison and Simon Fraser from the weekly science fiction anthology comic, 2000 AD.
I'm Simon Fraser.
And I'm Edie Nugent, freelance writer and Simon's wife. Join us as we swashbuckle our way through the Russian Empire of the future. Warning, there will be spoilers. We will be talking in depth about these comics, so if you haven't read them yet, listen at your own risk. To join our book club and read along with us, go to shop.2000ad.com to pick up the books in hard copy or digital.
Today we're reading The Chaperone, found in Prog's 1560 to 1564.
Hi, Simon.
Hi, Edie.
And hello, Irregulars, and welcome back to the Great Dante Read-Through.
Welcome back.
So we said last time we'd have Destiny's Child and maybe the Tsar's Daughter in here too, but a lot happens in The Chaperone, so we're going to get to those next episode. Okay, so who wrote it, who drew it, etc.?
It was written by Robbie Morrison, and it was drawn by John M. Burns, and it was lettered by Annie Parkhouse.
So this story is taking us to the Mongolian barrier, where apparently a tour of duty there is the most reviled post in the armed forces.
Okay.
After America, that is.
I think that's a dig.
Teaser. I feel like it's teasing because it's coming up.
Probably, America. But it's also a dig.
I mean, yeah. I don't even notice it anymore because there's just so much to dig on America. So this area is another alienation zone set up by the Tsar. And the last one we heard about was the Road of Bones in the Magadan, Siberia district, where that nifty prison was.
Was Rudenstein not an alienation zone?
It may have been.
May have been.
I just remember Road of Bones because it was episode 36. It was just a little while ago. Yeah. So the Tsar really likes his alienation zones.
He likes declaring places to be kind of like, you know, it's kind of cursed earth syndrome. It's like, no, I don't like that place. That's named, that's off the map.
Yeah, indeed.
We're not having that.
So what delights await us here? Apparently the natives are killing each other, according to some Tsar flunkies who are standing on the Great Wall and sort of overlooking the plains. Mm-hmm. I guess that's the barrier. It's not, is it the Great Wall?
I mean, no, it's not the Great Wall of China.
He's made a Great Wall.
It's some kind of like Hadrian's Wall-ish effort against the barbarian hordes.
I guess it's too short to be
We can't be bothered to tame these wild barbarian people. We're just going to put a wall here and say, never mind.
Yeah, well, you know these guys suck because they use the term natives.
Well, yes.
It's like the term savages being used on that last episode of Shogun. Like it's there to indicate awfulness.
Yes. On the part of the person saying it, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Yep. Well, there's our flunkies. They're no good.
Yeah.
So the Mongolian barrier is a haven for fugitives from imperial justice, hive of scum and villainy, blah, 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 obey the Tsar, blah, blah.
Right.
Right.
Yes. Mongolia, of course, is the home of Genghis Khan, who was the greatest of all emperors.
Indeed.
If you look at sheer conquest... if you haven't read about Genghis Khan, and I strongly urge you to do so, it is an incredible story, and you don't know as much as you think you do. It's absolutely incredible. Anyway, sorry, I will digress on this subject.
Genghis Khan, not Genghis Khan.
Yeah, Genghis Khan is the anglicized version
of it. I see.
I think Genghis.
Khan.
I'm not pretending to know how to pronounce it, but that's how the historians seem to pronounce it when I listen to
I just have Bill and Ted in my head now, Genghis
minor
Khan.
Minor obsession of mine.
Is it?
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, yes.
Well, there you are. So, apparently monstrous creatures are grown here in flesh pits.
And on the subject of minor obsessions of mine, we have flying pterosaurs, which are in fact Ramparincus.
You are skipping ahead.
Sorry.
As you always do. You couldn't wait.
How can we?
You couldn't wait for the dactyl. So anyway, flesh pits.
Flesh pits.
Oh, here to be used in tribal warfare.
That's just the words that Robbie put together and thought, that sounds cool.
I thought, I was saying like WTF, like flesh pit. Like I hope we get to see a flesh pit at some point. You know, like what does that look like?
I hope I never have to draw one.
It's a fleshy vortex. So we have a new year. It's 2675, according to Solomon Crane, author of Savage Lands, which is narrating the opening.
So we're getting a lot of Robert E. Howard references already. So Solomon Crane is obviously a play on Solomon Kane, which is a Robert E. Howard story, I believe. And we're going to get a few references to Howard throughout this.
All right. Well, you got to point them out because I can't.
Well, I'm not an expert, but yeah, I'll try.
Nobody here is an expert, Simon.
Yeah, but people who listen to us are experts.
Oh.
And will have opinions.
Well, that's good, though. Then they can tell us. They can reach out.
Fallacious nonsense.
And tell us.
Okay.
So 2675, those years are really going by. Yeah. I feel like it was 2673, like 5 seconds ago.
Well, we're doing a lot of stuff. I mean, there's a lot going on here.
It's a lot happening.
Anyway, we can turn the page yet.
Yes, you can turn. So we see a big, extraordinarily burly dude with a bald head and a high ponytail and some armor with a cutout like a Aurora Monroe's like Storm costume in X-Men. And he's astride what, Simon? What is he astride?
Flaunting his abductors. He is astride a Ramphorhynchus, but way larger than any Ramphorhynchus ever was. And a Ramphorhynchus is an early pterosaur, and you can tell because it's got a tail. And later pterosaurs, most notably pterodactyls and asdarchids, did not have tails. They were tailless. They managed to manage to balance their flight using their feet. What? You're smiling at me.
I'm smiling at you because this is, no, it's not an indulgent way. This is one of my favorite things about you. I wrote it into our vows, Simon.
Okay.
About your love of dinosaurs.
Though these technically are not dinosaurs, they're prehistoric flying
reptiles. They are not dinosaurs. It's fair. Fair correction. But no. This is one of my favorite party tricks with you. Is that I would tell somebody to like find a picture of a dinosaur, any dinosaur, just find a picture of one on your phone and hold up just the picture to Simon. And not only will he be able to tell you the name of that creature, he will likely be able to tell you like the real name of that creature and also like 3 facts about it, minimum.
I feel we're setting me up to failure here. People are going to challenge me.
People are going
to
do this at the con now if their listeners will know. Yes. Well, I called it a giant, leathery, ugly winged, giant lizard pterodactyl thing.
Cool.
That was my...
That also worked. It is unfeasibly large.
Very big.
I mean, it's about the size of an Asdarchid, but an Asdarchid is way skinnier.
See, I know what an Asdarchid is because I've been with you long enough to know they are creepy, crazy.
Crazy, long,
creepy,
big, giant things.
Birds that walk around on their elbows, their wing elbows.
Yeah. And like basically
giant
giraffe
beaks.
Height.
Something terrifying.
Giraffe height that can just jump off the ground and launch into flight with like 40
it's
foot
so
wingspan.
Scary when you show me those pictures of like a drawing of one of them next to like a man, and the man is like a tiny little ant next to this giant scary beaked
and it's like its neck is like it's a straight long sort of rigid thing, and its head is just like an axe. Just like shoosh, it like picks things off the ground.
Terrifying. Terrifying pterodactyl. Okay. Anyway,
what's happening?
This guy is shouting Scar, and he tells the men of Damacha that he is coming for them and they must pledge their swords or die.
Okay.
And his big, ugly, giant lizard bird gets hit in the eye with a bunch of arrows, which take him down.
That looks expensive.
He's been shot by another warlord who threatens Scar Guy as he rides up astride a saber-toothed tiger.
Smilodon, as it's also called.
These dudes really enjoy their battle animals.
Who's making these things? Where are they coming from?
The flesh pits. They're coming from the flesh pits.
Is that where this guy comes from with his infeasibly large mouth?
We get to it a little bit later. What's the deal with him? But sort of, yes.
Right.
So anyway, Scar grabs the jaws of the poor saber tooth and literally rips them apart.
Aww.
It's gross.
That's awful.
There's a large crack noise that makes my tummy feel queasy. Yeah, I don't like
it. It's also huge. That's a gigantic saber tooth. Anything. They were never that big. Anyway.
So
again,
Scar, it's they're not like they're really roaming the earth and they just recruited them. They have made them in those flesh pits keep telling you about.
Flesh pit. I want a flesh pit. Can we put one in the garden?
That sounds strange. Yes, sure, honey. Yeah. You can have a flesh pit, darling.
Thank you.
Anything for you. So Scar then lifts up the Sabretooth's master, like by the throat, and waves him around to dissuade any other men of Damacha from challenging him. And then he opens up his jaws, Scar Guy does, and eats the dude's head off camera.
Wow.
Or like just takes it and bites it off and spits it out like it's unclear. But one of those things happens.
I'm sure I probably heard Robbie just explaining the scene to me in a bar once, and like Really? Okay. I don't think I'm drawing that, thankfully.
Yeah, well, he... So then Scar tells everyone, the assembled men of Damacha, to kneel, and they're all like, sure, genetically enhanced beast man, like, simmer down, we're okay. On our knees, no yeah. problem.
Yeah.
Nothing to see here.
Also, incredible abductors you've got there, and abs.
You mean that Scar has, yes, when he raises his arms up to the sky.
Yeah, and he's got the... Actually, this is one of those cases where male battle armor is kind of like... kind of sexy.
Yeah.
Like, that's normal. Normal. Yeah, male yeah. battle armor is functional and female battle armor is sexy.
Well,
and this is kind of like...
This is equal opportunity sexy battle armor.
Not that I would call Scar in any way sexy. Mm. Unless he's your thing. Who knows?
I'm sure he thinks he is, though. So... Thank God we cut to Dante.
Yes. Hi, remember me, blessedly. The biggest damn fool in the empire. Great intro.
So Dante's in his dress whites again, trying mm-hmm. to get a moment of Jenna's attention, and she only has time to throw a drink in his face.
If that's white wine, that's going to stain that uniform.
I'm sure the Tsar has many others that he can wear. And Dante says something like he had no choice but to bang the Contessa in Moscow, which really makes me think that this was somehow part of Dante's plan. The Contessa banging, instead of, I thought it was before, maybe the Tsar's plan to undermine him for reasons. I mentioned that, but I'm thinking now it's part of Dante's plan because he's saying he has no choice.
Possible.
And I feel like he wouldn't phrase it that way of trying to get in Jenna's good graces.
It's a weak argument. You're trying to get back with your girlfriend.
Yeah.
It's a weak argument, Dante. Sorry.
Well, anywho, we're at the Imperial Space Egg in St. Petersburg, mm-hmm. and the whole effed up family, what's left of them, is yes. here. Lord Protector, Arkady, Jenna, and the Tsar in matching dress whites and a long purple coat.
Oh.
Yeah, I think it's cute well, he fetching. And Dante match.
You got a family outfit.
Yeah, it's like those Mommy and Me outfits.
I quite like Jenna's outfit. It's quite nicely tailored there.
Jenna is in a gorgeously tailored purple suit with thigh-high black boots, my friend. Okay. Those are over the knee. but Arkady doesn't get one. Arkady doesn't get a matching outfit.
Yeah, Arkady gets some outfits later on.
No one likes Arkady except maybe his not-dead daddy.
Nobody
That's the only one who likes Arkady.
Nobody likes Arkady at all. Even his daddy.
I feel like
his
daddy came around to him in the end. No? Just an Arkady of convenience, mayhap?
Again, I'll remain stumm on that.
Okay. Subject. Well, we kind of get there later. So, in any event, Arkady may not have dress whites, but the Tsar does have something for Arkady. Oh. Control of the Scarlet Wraiths.
Just what he wants.
The Tsar is really giving Arkady a lot of stuff. It's kind of weird.
It is kind of weird. I don't know what's going on there.
It's weird.
Yeah.
You assume the Tsar has some sort of long game because that's what the Tsar do, but mm-hmm. I don't know. So I can't figure it out, whatever it is. So well done, Robbie. I have no idea what the hell is happening. Mm-hmm. So the Tsar isn't done bestowing stuff on Arkady, though. Mm-hmm. He's also going to marry him off.
Okay, that sounds... yeah, okay, sure, why not?
And what lucky lady gets to stroke the tendrils of Arkady's weird long emo haircut?
Ugh.
It's like 90s alternative rock band hair length.
I know.
So it's Sonia Slotik. Sonia.
As in Red Sonia.
Sonia Slotik, another... definitely not at all based on Red Sonia, I said. This is a totally different armored sexy lady. She's Mongolian, and that's how it's different. See?
Okay.
Okay. Don't sue us.
Okay. She definitely looks kind of more like Oktobriana than Red Sonia. But yeah. I do like the outfit a lot, and she looks amazing in it.
Yeah. She does have a lot more coverage than a Red Sonia normally
True.
Does. She's got sort of a loincloth, high-cut, mm-hmm. High-hip-cut sort of skirt thing, and a belt, and kind of a bustier, like mm-hmm. halter top yeah. bustier thing.
Yeah, it's quite a lot. I mean, there's some coverage there.
Yeah, there's some coverage.
I mean, she's not going to take an arrow to the chest very well, but the arms have got chainmail on yeah. them, so that's nice.
And then Arkady calls her a savage. See, there's that word again. Mm. And I guess it's in character for him, but like, we already all hate Arkady enough, right?
Here's
like,
that.
This is just gilding that turd blossom. Like, I don't think Here's we need that. More Arkady hate, but hey.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry. There's more to come.
It's going to help the Tsar's ongoing world domination interests to marry these two. So shut up, Arkady. Nobody cares what you want.
No.
You want to say something about the floating chair cushion here? It's looking very cushiony.
Floating chair cushion.
The floating chair cushion.
Oh, God, yeah. It doesn't look great. The John M. Burns, I love you. I dearly do. However, the palace, no, it doesn't work. That's not it.
Yeah. I
mean, whatever.
It's the fighting couch.
It's, yeah.
So Dante then punches Arcady by way of congratulations for his impending nuptials. Mm-hmm. And no, he's actually doing it because he knows Arcady snitched about the Contessa to Jenna.
Yes, he did. And it's a solid right hook there for that.
Yeah, really.
That's some real, that's a real punch. Look at that. Look at how Arcady took it as well.
Yeah, like, he just flies backwards. Crushed. Yes.
Some kind of like horizontal knocking. Anyway,
sorry. And then Arcady vows to destroy Dante with his most petulant face yet.
Yeah, he's good at that.
Mm, he really is.
If anyone could destroy anyone with petulance alone, it would be Arcady.
It would be Arcady. You could weaponize that. And weaponize petulance. I guess we do. Spoilers. Yeah. And we cut to Ulaanbaatar.
Mm-hmm.
And Elena? You said Elena, right? Elena Karakin, the world's most reluctant bodyguard, is staring out a window at the fanfare in the village square below.
And it's her hometown.
It's her hometown. Dante's by her side and asks why she never told him about Mongolia. And she says, "You never asked," which is peak Dante, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's not a great employer.
New. Says. Or friend or whatever or they
anything.
Are. Yeah. We cut to inside the palace in Ulaanbaatar, where Warlord Slotik is arguing with his armored babe of a daughter, Sonya, about how she needs to marry the wet noodle that is Arcady.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Sonya gets excited for a minute seeing Dante, that this marriage thing might not be so bad. She's seeing Dante and she's going, oh, okay, maybe I'll marry him.
One,
I'll take this one for the family. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But no, it's the little incel behind him, Sonya. Aww. So sorry.
Mm.
The one who calls, yes, it's the little incel, I'm saying, the one who calls the banquet your warlord dad put on quaint, backwater, and primitive, all in one sentence.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yes. Arcady.
He's a prick.
Really?
I mean, we're ramming that home here.
We're really belaboring that point.
Yes.
later, after the banquet, Dante returns to his room to find... What does he find?
Somebody warming the bed.
It's Sonya, naked on his bed, draped in furs.
Looking great. Don't remember the helmet, but great.
yes. But one of the close-ups here of Sonya's face just looks really weird.
Yeah?
I mean, she's kind of close up here.
She does look kind of, the eyes are a little bit too large.
Yeah, she looks like a Bratz doll or something.
Yeah, it's a little bit much.
It's strange.
A little more top. It's still well drawn.
Yeah.
I'll take it. Whatever.
I mean, it's rare that John M. Burns doesn't render something well. It's just, you know, I think the problem
at this point is he has two Mongolian young female characters, so he has to make them different somehow. And that's a challenge if you're not Mongolian and don't.
Right.
Mongolian people regularly.
Sure. Anyway.
He's exaggerating somewhat
the
differences.
Well, Dante is all for Jenna now, so he's not going to say yes to this hot mess.
My goodness.
And we get an eyeful of old Sonya.
We do.
Boob, nipple, and a delectable rump close-up, which I definitely looked at for too long.
Dear me.
A long time.
It's a butt.
It's a fantastic butt shot.
She's in good shape.
I just kept drifting back.
Did you?
To that
is that why it took you so long to write this one? Distracted.
I blame the rump.
Dear.
So the whole crew dashes off to St. Petersburg for the wedding, according to Tatiana Timurov in her book A Marriage of Inconvenience, which, like, spoilers, but that's a pretty short book. Like a novella, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anywho, on the airship journey back, Sonya spars with Elena, calling her a half-breed and looking real sexy while doing it. Nice sexy face on...
Mm-hmm.
That's a good face. Yeah, I like that face on Sonya, which is sort of starting toward...
What half-breed?
Yeah, well, that's interesting. When we get to Elena's backstory, we'll explore that. I found it strange as well.
Mm-hmm.
But then more pterodactyls arrive, and Scar is on one of them. Before that, Sonya asked Elena what tribe she's from, and Elena mysteriously answers, no tribe, not anymore.
No labels.
And Sonya's going to keep hunting Dante, so she says. But then the pterodactyls arrive, and Scar is on one of them, and they are attacking the airship. Right. The airship then crashes, and Scar has a horde of soldiers that are apparently free to kill everyone but Arcady and Sonya.
Okay.
Yeah.
so you can do that. Right, okay. And it seems important. Never mind, what am I talking about? Complete nonsense fantasy.
Well, Sonia explains, let's see. No, Dante uses the huntsman first to protect them all in sort of the wreckage of the airship. Yeah. And then Arkady and Sonia get into a tiff.
He uses the butt of the huntsman. He clubs someone in the face with the butt of the huntsman. Just shoot him with it. Why would you club someone
because
with the face of it?
Because it's fun and adventure-y. That's why.
It's Robbie going, I should have a fight and you should punch him. It's like, just shoot him, you pillock.
Okay. Anyway, well, in the midst of all of this shooting and gun butt banging, Arkady and Sonia are in a tiff because Arkady suggests that the Tsar nuke her entire country. And Sonia explains that the Tsar, a lot of similar sounding names in this one. Sonia explains that Scar has conquered half of Mongolia and that her marriage to Arkady is supposed to secure her father military aid. Okay.
Makes sense.
So our little band of malcontents is hiding in the airship's wreckage while Scar bellows outside that the shooter should come out and be crushed.
Okay.
Okay. So Dante gives him I'm a Dante, Nikolai Dante. And Scar's like, who?
I don't read those trashy newspapers.
Yeah, I don't read those love magazines.
I only read the broadsheets.
But he knows Elena. She apparently gave Scar the scars on his big old face with her swords.
Right? Okay.
So apparently, this is the origin story of our Scar. They say that he's had work done in the flesh pits. There you go.
Okay,
that's where he got his big egghead. Flesh pits to make himself the ultimate warrior. Skeletal restructuring, muscle enhancement, heightened senses, skin and flesh strengthened with synthetics.
Okay, flesh pits. That's what flesh pits
do. That's what flesh pits can do.
So, right.
Apparently to man, beast, doesn't matter. They will soup you up.
Okay.
They will soup you.
Pretty sophisticated stuff for the deserted Radlands or whatever these are.
Yeah, I really want to know what the flesh pits are. Like, is it a swirling vortex of flesh and you just dip yourself in the goo and you're born anew? Like, what happens here?
It's a fascinating prospect, which I don't think we'll ever
We never get to see those flesh pits, do we?
I'll ask Robbie about it.
Sad face.
Maybe we'll get a sequel.
You know, if I'd actually written down every time you said, I'll ask Robbie about it, we'd have such a long list. And I bet we remember exactly none of it.
None of it. None of whatsoever.
Yeah. So listeners, if you remember and someone's keeping list, please turn it over. just put that on other people. So Arkady comes up with a plan here because the Korgo Mountains all around them apparently cut off communications, so they can't radio for help. So basically, they're going to set off smoke grenades for cover and then blow up the airship's engines and run. So it's not a sophisticated plan, but it's workable.
Okay.
Right. And Dante is being led by Arkady now.
Right.
Which is interesting.
Okay. Right. I suppose he is supposed to be a tactical genius or something.
I guess. And the plan works.
All
right. Right? And then we finally get Elena's backstory.
Oh my God.
Here it is. Mother was an aid worker from Georgia. She came to help during a famine in Mongolia in 2645, which you know the Tsar did that. Like, that's
and by Georgia, we don't mean Atlanta, Georgia.
She did not take the midnight train to Georia.
Is it
Georgia.
The Caucasus Mountains? I don't remember. Georgia is definitely down south of the kind of Asian landmass.
Right. And she got radiation poisoning, helping people at the Orkhon Valley reactor explosion. And died when Elena was still young. We get a sort of Spock death and Wrath of Khan moment with sad young Elena with her fingers up against a glass. I guess she's in a quarantine room, mom is, because of the radiation poisoning. And her sick and dying mom is there.
Beautifully
it's awful.
Done, I have to say. It's a beautiful four-panel sequence.
Yes, it's a four-panel sequence. You get a nice sort of, like, I always say sepia wash, but you always correct me and say it's something else.
Sepia works.
Finally.
I mean, I would say sepia, but sepia also works, because sepia would be the Italian pronunciation of it.
Okay.
Which means literally octopus or squid. Squid.
Squid.
Yeah.
Because what did they use squidding for it or something?
They do.
Is that why it's sepia tones?
Yes.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
I didn't. What a cool little factoid.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. So Elena's papa was a bladesman for the warlord of Karakorum.
A bladesman.
And he met her mom by being assigned to be her escort. So I guess mom is from somewhere else. It doesn't really say where mom is from,
Georgia,
I guess that's...
My mother was an aid worker from Georgia.
From Georgia. Oh, that's right.
Georgia.
So there's the half-breed thing.
Right, okay.
So there's your half-breed thing.
Interesting. Okay, good.
Okay. Glad we worked that out. So after Mum died, the bladesman daddy taught Elena all she knows about swords.
Which is a lot. Yeah.
And this was before the barrier was built in the region, apparently, back when the Tsar still maintained a presence in this area. So the explosion of the Orkhon Valley reactor apparently made enemies of the governor of that region and Elena's tribe, right? Somehow that caused friction, and I didn't really understand why, but we'll take it. And an imperial garrison was destroyed in this battle between these two factions. I guess the governor of the region was maybe Tsar appointed, and like Elena's tribe was pissed because everybody got hurt. I don't know. And in the scuffle, imperial garrison is destroyed. The Tsar is not best pleased and recruited mercenaries to besiege Karakorum.
Right.
So a lead mercenary was Skarak, a disgraced bladesman.
Oh dear. Okay. I can see where this is going.
Yes. Guess who he grew up to be?
He grew up to be...
Scar!
Oh yeah. Okay.
Scar. And Elena's... I don't know why I keep messing that up. Elena's father bravely defended the city, but was shot up by Scar's men's crossbows.
It's a great sequence. I really like the artwork on this.
You like the artwork on this whole flashback? I love
the sepia tone thing. It's just really... beautiful storytelling.
Well, what do you like about the storytelling?
I like the clarity of it, the drawing, frankly. I think a lot of the time, dare I say it, but the coloring can distract from just how good Burns's line work is. And I really, really like his line work a lot. And I think just with the sepia wash.
The sepia wash, and you just see the line work. Bang on.
I mean, I'm very biased because this is how I did Hershey pretty much.
Line work and then sort of one color wash.
Keep it simple. Keep the coloring simple, and I think it really emphasizes the line work, which I think is great.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Whenever I've looked at like original art, when I see like the original art and then I see the finished color, a lot of times I feel like the color messes it up. Like not even that the coloring is done badly.
Yeah.
Like it's not even just when the coloring is done badly, though it often is. Mm-hmm. But even when it's done well, I feel like a lot of times it obscures some of the drama and the dynamism of the line work.
Yeah. A lot of the time the coloring's being done by people who aren't necessarily particularly good at storytelling.
I'd say even good coloring sometimes. Yeah. You see the original artwork and it's like...
Yeah. I mean, it's a storytelling thing. You have to make choices. Yeah. And coloring you make choices about the coloring which accentuate or distract from the storytelling. And I think a lot of the time, to be honest, that's why I work with Gary, is because Gary is a comic book artist. He's a very good comic book artist himself. He just doesn't want to do it. But he does like coloring and he understands storytelling. Mm. And he's easy to work with, so that helps. It's a lot to do with the fact I don't really trust other people to get their hands on my work. It always comes out like, I don't love it.
Yeah. Well, so her dad died painfully after taking all those crossbows from Scar's men. Yep. And then the remaining people of Elena's tribe tried to evacuate, but most of them didn't make it. Elena was sort of trying to protect them with her cute little pigtails and daddy's swords.
Oh,
I know. It's so cute. Bless. And it's so cute that she like carried that hairstyle like all the way to like Rudenstein where we met her. Mm-hmm. She still got the pigtails, you know? And transporters apparently came to rescue, I don't know whose transporters, Tsar, I don't know, came to rescue some of Elena's tribe, and Elena got on one of these transporters, while Scar tried to climb up on it, like still fighting, and that is when little baby Elena slashed him with Papa's swords in the face.
Cool.
Yeah.
Hence the resentment.
So after all of these flashbacks, our group, we cut back to our group and they have come to a rickety, spindly bridge.
Oh no. I wonder what's going to happen here.
To get to the Imperial Barrier, where I guess they'll be able to call for help.
Chekhov's rickety bridge. You know it's going to get cut. Someone's going to end up swinging from it. It's the man who would be king.
You are getting ahead of me, sir. I couldn't agree more.
Right.
Of course, Scar and his men and the pterodactyls are waiting for them at the bridge, and they do the great adventure scene on the one-way rope and wood plank suspension bridge thing between two cliffs.
Is it Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Where the one side gets cut, and everyone on the bridge, in this case, Dante, Arkady, Elena, and Sonya, cling to one end or the other, trying not to fall to their deaths.
Never found a cliche he didn't love, did he?
Indeed. Unfortunately, Scar's pterodactyl gets Elena in his claws and flies off with her, but Dante manages to fall onto the creature's back and fly off with them.
Oops.
Okay.
This is going to end badly for the pterodactyl.
So, yeah.
I feel bad for it.
Mm-hmm. You should. Scar is so abandoning his plan to ransom Arkady and Sonya because he's still big mad about Elena cutting up his face, which I feel like he should thank her because he looks considerably more badass, which is his whole thing, right?
Maybe.
He spent all that time and money in those flesh pits.
Maybe he
getting
feels emasculated
souped up.
By the fact that a small child
I guess
this.
It was because she was a small child.
Maybe
that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, see? Hmm. You have
anyway.
Good points, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Sonya gets up the remaining bridge on one side now. It's now more of a ladder, really, and gets to the top of the other side of the cliff and totally has a chance to let Arkady fall to his death.
Oh.
But doesn't.
Pooh.
Both of them seem surprised by this.
You know, I'm looking at this sequence of Dante, like, he's getting, he's wading, he's, like, rolling around in blood, and there's this, that, and the mud, and whatever else. I'm going, that white uniform should be clarky.
Yeah, it should be saturated.
Absolutely
right.
Filthy.
Yeah.
If I was doing this,
the continuity,
absolutely grubby.
The continuity on the white
that
uniform
be,
is not happening
that
here.
That would be my long play joke.
It's like,
just like
how
it's just
much dirtier it gets.
Crap.
Yeah. Missed opportunity there.
Yeah, I know.
But... we cut to Dante on the pterodactyl, and he cuts into the poor beast while he's like riding on it, and everybody falls from the sky together, and the pterodactyl falls to its sad death.
Oh,
it wasn't Rinkus. His fault. He didn't do anything.
He's just been around for Rinkus. He's been saddled and
poor boy.
Brutalized, probably.
Didn't even have a name, nothing.
I know. Ramphy.
Ramphy. R.A.P. Ramphy. So they all fall from the sky, and then Dante and Scar engage, start to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, Solomon Crane's Savage Land book refers to Dante as a chaperone to, I guess, Sonya in this case, even though he's totally not with her anymore, but I guess that's where the title comes from, so.
I thought he was the chaperone for Arkady, isn't he? He's the chaperone for Arkady.
No, it talks about protecting a lady's virtue, so no.
Well, okay. Well,
I mean
yeah.
Unless Arkady's a lady, which,
I mean,
okay.
I don't know if Dante would be there. Anyway, whatever.
Listen,
sure.
I take it up with Solomon Crane, okay? I didn't write this book.
It may not even be a good book.
We cut away from Dante and Scar, and we go back to Arkady and Sonya, and the pair are facing off against Scar's men, and Arkady manages to get an Incredible Hulk quote off.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Yes, before he reveals he's got a crest.
Oh my
Daddy
goodness.
Dimitri gave Arkady that crest before he died. Arkady gets the angry biomech face.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
And you know, you just know Arkady plays with that biomech alone in his room at night. Like, he loves to look at that in the mirror.
Yeah.
Like he's posing. So excited he finally got it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's prancing in his reflection with that biomech, I'm telling you. Like, he's brushing his teeth at night, and he just lets a little bit come into his eye and sort of smiles to himself, keeps brushing.
They don't even know
what lurks within the heart of Arkady. If he has a heart. He may not. But he's also got that Lord Protector, like, body melting blast thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he uses it on one of Scar's men.
And also he has a bioblade.
Well, yes, but I was also saying when he uses this blast thing, it also kind of looks like when a Dalek exterminates someone on Doctor Who.
The skeleton.
Yeah, sort of skeleton thing.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But yeah, so Arkady has the crest, and we knew some funny business was going on as Papa Dimitri was dying.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to say right here, this will not end well.
I can confidently say
that's
nope, true.
It's not gonna. And we cut back to Dante and Scar, and they tussle and punch and stab, and Scar looks like he's going to do that head bite thing to Dante, right?
Yeah.
We cut back to Arkady and Sonya. It's like fierce cutting back and forth we're having here.
Yeah, a little
like
back
just
and forth.
Just fierce. So we cut back to Arkady and Sonya and Scar's men, and here we get to your part where we reveal the bioblades, because Arkady is just laying waste to these guys.
Yes.
He's got the bioblades going from Dante, Lord Protector's blast thing. Like, it's just mayhem.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, formidable Arkady.
Indeed.
Here. It's weird to see Arkady be scary.
Yeah.
Well, but he's doing it.
Yep.
He's doing it.
Yep.
And Sonya asks Arkady, what are you? And he says, he's his father's son, or the child is father to the man. It's complicated.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to pause here.
Indeed.
I don't swear a lot on this podcast, but what the fuck? I read this 3 times. This is like that what walks on 2 legs at dawn riddle to me. Like, is he possessed by Dimitri? Is Dimitri the Crest? Is he the Crest's voice? What is happening? What is happening?
You don't want me to answer that
question. I know, but I have to ask these questions. I know. He is his father's son or the child, right, or the child is father to the man. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. If I'm right and Dimitri is the voice of the Crest inside Arkady's head, I didn't think I could feel bad for Arkady, but I would, because that's horrible. Can you imagine Dimitri in there? No, wouldn't be good. Okay.
No, it would not.
Okay. So then what happens was...
More violence.
So much is going on here.
Yes.
I mean, think about so much has happened already in this story. Like, I can't. Okay. So Arkady is like, I'm not about to kill you because you figured out my secret identity. I just don't like you and I want to bang Jenna.
Oh, God.
I mean, he says he has his eye on someone else, but we all know it's Jenna, right?
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, he wanted to take her out to that weird play last episode and she was like, no, thanks. I don't want to go see theater with you, Arkady.
No.
Yeah. He couldn't come up with it. It's so sad, too, because it was like, you know, the classic production of somebody's something, something. And it's like, you couldn't even pick something good to do. Couldn't be like, we're gonna ride on a pterodactyl, Jenna. Like, something to, like, make her feel like she wants to accept. We're going to go see a dry play, Jenna.
I would say yes if he did.
Pterodactyl. You'd say yes to Arkady.
I would, right? Yeah, sure. Okay.
Make her an offer she can't refuse.
I mean, it's only one date, isn't it?
Seriously.
What can really happen? Mind you, we know what can really happen. He can just annihilate you, which is what's happening right now.
So yes, and goodbye, Sonia, as the mech creeps over Arkady's face. And he says, I'm sorry, but you know he isn't.
Yeah, somebody commissioned me to do a Sonia once.
Oh, really? What was that like?
No, I haven't done that. I'm asking somebody to do it.
Oh, really? Like recently?
No, I'm just saying I would like to.
Oh, somebody please ask Simon to do Sonia.
It's great. Yeah. She's great.
You did, because you never got to draw her.
I never got to draw her.
Presumably,
she was only a one-story character.
Back, yeah. No. Okay. Well, you heard it here first, folks.
Yeah.
Simon will be drawing.
I will be drawing for money at the Lawless Convention.
Yes. No, we can pause here. This is a good moment to say.
Yes.
You will be taking commissions.
I will.
Do you want to do like a commission list or beforehand, or should people just come up to you like punters as you go?
Yeah, no. Come at me the day because I can't be bothered keeping.
Sorry. A commission list. So
you get me in the day and I'll do it. And if I have time,
get
I will do
on
it.
The day.
Yeah.
And he will do
it. If I try planning too much ahead, it'll come awry.
Yeah. And you usually have like we're just going to turn this into a commercial. You usually have like 3 levels of drawing-ish. Like you have like kind of like just a basic headshot. And then you have like kind of like a more of a like head and bust shot. And then you'll do like a full body character and then multiple characters.
Yeah. I mean,
there's like a tiered.
We'll discuss it at the time. I think
we'll have prices laid out because we want people to.
Sure.
Because otherwise people get put off because they feel like they have to negotiate. You have to lay the prices out.
What?
Otherwise it's a barrier.
Okay.
I'm telling you.
All right. We'll put prices and things.
We will. Fine. I promise. So, okay, we cut back to Dante. Thank you for paying attention during our commercial break. We cut back to Dante about to be eaten by Scar. And we just a wonderful giant maw, gaping maw shot of Scar. But then Scar lets out as a curved blade appears.
She hamstrings him.
Cutting out the back of Scar's knees.
Ugh.
Ugh. And it is Elena, of course, and she's ready to finish that job she started as a mere slip of a girl.
Great, great job. Yeah.
So Simon is gesturing to the panel where Elena is swinging her curved blade at us, at the POV of the reader,
off panel right.
Down towards to decapitate, we imagine, him, with her ponytails flying back.
Mm-hmm.
Which is wonderful.
Yes.
I actually like the, if you want to turn back, I actually like the panel coloring, dividing the shot of Elena finally killing Scar. And we kind of have the sepia tone of the past in the center, sort of harkening back to like that said to me that she's like in her mind going back to that little girl.
Swing a lot harder
she's
these
going
days.
Back to the little girl and she's summoning that energy.
It's a good,
And I think that's why the pigtails are flying and we're featuring those is because she looks kind of younger there. It was cool.
Good storytelling.
Because you were griping an episode or so ago that you didn't do a flashback properly, and it kind of like it was jarring. Yeah. I think it was in the last episode. And you were saying, oh, I should have put it in sepia tone or made a wiggly border or something. Yep. Yep. And here's a really great use of sepia tone.
Well, it's not even a flashback.
It's an evocation of an earlier time, using that language that we learned earlier in the comic to convey a feeling, which is just deft.
Yes.
John and Birds, ladies and gentlemen.
Deft.
Always remembered, never forgotten. Mm-hmm. Elena has a bit of closure and Dante's like, your parents would be proud of you. Mm-hmm. And Elena's like, thanks for nothing, Dante.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
What do we think Elena's feeling at this point towards Dante, truly?
I don't know. There's a weird kind of loyalty because they've been through a lot together.
But she just seems so over him all the time. She's and she used largely... to really believe, she was a true believer of Captain Dante.
Yeah, but I think they are friends. That's the thing.
Do you get that vibe?
I do, but it's definitely friends. They're not into each other. She's not into. She's,
oh no!
She's not.
Oh God, no!
Impressed by his masculine aura at all. So yeah, they are friends. I think that's a rare thing for Dante, probably, to have a female friend.
Mm. I would
that
say
he respects.
Yes. Yeah.
Who's probably, frankly, tougher than him.
Oh, no question. No question. Even with his enhancements, I'd say she's the deadlier of the two. But just then, from above comes rescue in the form of airships. And in walks Arkady.
Oh, dear.
Holding the dead body of Sonya.
Carrying a large woman.
Yeah.
Seemingly without effort.
That's a really good point. Yeah. Everyone should be suspicious of him at this point.
Yeah.
He's just lifting her like she weighs nothing.
I mean, she looks like 180 pounds at least.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is in kilos. I'm sorry, I've forgotten kilos entirely.
And stone or whatever the heck
She's a large lass wearing
armor.
Wearing body armor. And it is not like lightweight Kevlar body armor. It's
chainmail. Yeah, she's got chainmail in there.
Yeah, and there's plate in there too. And Arkady's just carrying her like she is a bag of laundry.
Yeah, seriously. And not even a heavy bag.
Yeah.
That's like a couple of days bag of laundry.
Crazy.
He's strutting with her dead body. Claiming this means Dante is sacked. See, he's the chaperone, I told you.
Mm-hmm.
Dante is sacked, and he's smiling as he announces, the wedding's off. And I'm like, yeah, Arkady, not at all suspicious. It's like, don't be suspicious. You didn't watch Parks and Rec.
No, yes. I didn't.
John Ralphia and Mona Lisa. They're trying not to be suspicious, and they start singing a song, Don't Be Suspicious, as they sort of strut around a park. The most suspicious thing you could possibly do. That's the energy I'm getting off of Arkady in this moment. Okay. And you even noted he's way too strong. It's all at once.
There's a lot of things wrong.
Yeah, it's a lot of things wrong going on.
We're not
here.
Being told right
so
now.
So I don't know if the others are picking up on this or not. Mm-hmm. We don't see, because that's it. That's the final panel, is the wedding's off.
Yes.
Right? So that's the end.
Any questions are posed here?
A lot happened. That was a big reveal, Arkady.
It's an important one.
It is an important one. Arkady's kitty's got claws. And folks, we are going to be at Lawless Comic Con, as we gave you an earlier commercial. Here's our next commercial.
Finally,
break.
Organizing artwork. If you go to my website, simonfraser.net, I put a link on there for artwork for sale, which is basically me dumping photos of all the artwork I've found. I mean, most of it, not all of it, but as much as I can find. I won't be taking all of it, but if there's something you're particularly interested in, then please let me know. Email me or send me the JPEG of the picture you like. And if you want to secure something 100%, then you can pay me up front right now with PayPal, because I can bring it to you, but I can't guarantee if somebody doesn't offer me money before you do that I will keep it for you.
Indeed.
That's the deal. I'll be bringing a stack of Dante stuff. I'll be bringing a stack of Shimura stuff,
old school Shimura stuff.
I've got some Dreads, bits and pieces of Dread from over the years. I've got some Doctor Who artwork from my 11th Doctor, sorry.
I forgot which Doctor it is. 11th Doctor.
The 11th Doctor, which I've got a bunch of artwork from that, which I guess I really like. I'm looking back on it going, pretty solid.
You hated it at the time.
I'm glad you're feeling better about it. I hated having to do it so fast.
Yeah, that was the issue.
It was very intense.
Yeah, it was 22 pages a month.
It was 15 episodes, 15 issues a year or something.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was so much work.
It was at least 22 pages a month, if not more.
Yeah, I've never worked so hard.
Yeah.
And yeah, but I think the artwork looks great and I'm very happy with it. Yeah. And I'm looking at going, people should buy that.
Yeah, no, it's good. I love a lot of that artwork and that was the first of your art that I ever did see.
Really?
Yes, because
I was working on that when we got together.
Oh, honey. Yeah. Have you forgotten our origin story?
No, of course not.
You're just playing coy. Because I was interviewing...
Abadzis, weren't you?
No, Abadzis was the 10th Doctor comic. I was interviewing... Who the heck was writing it? Al Ewing.
Al Ewing, I think.
Oh, good Lord. I think it was Al Ewing.
Or Rob. Because Al and Rob were writing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I interviewed the people who were writing your comic.
Yes.
And the interview is online somewhere.
There you go.
In my old portfolio. And that's where I saw your artwork, was reading that Doctor Who comic.
There you go.
Yeah, it was, and I loved it. That was the art I liked.
There you go.
Of all the Doctor Who stuff I was reading at the time, because I interviewed a number of people. I was the sort of Titan Comics reporter for Comics Beat at that point. I wasn't sort of. I was the Titan Comics reporter for many years. Job. I stepped on other people's heads to get the job. And and yours was the one that stood out and grabbed me. And I was like, I really dig that artwork. It's got like a cool feel to it.
You married the artist.
I said, that's my husband there. You should check out all that artwork. Yeah. Go to simonfraser.net, look at what he's put up, and remember that he's, you know, we've said there's Doctor Who art, there's Shemur art, there's Dread art, and there is, of course, Dante art. So reach out before, secure your payments now, and we will bring it, or on the day.
Or I'll just have
will
a,
be taking.
I'm taking three folders full of artwork. It's maybe about 90 pages more. Of artwork with me, so it's a lot.
It's like full on a carry on.
It's a lot.
Or a check, one of our checked bags.
It's going to be a bunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Lawless. So Lawless Comic Con, Bristol, May 25th and 26th at the Doubletree Hilton. Tickets are available. Go to lawlesscomiccon, all one word, .co.uk. And we are recording our live podcast episode on the main con floor at 1 p.m. on Saturday the 25th. So please come and hang out with us
for
that. Watch
the chaos.
Yes, please
try and work out how to do this live.
So we are closing the book on Dante for today. But we'll be back next time with Destiny's Child and the Tsar's Daughter.
There you go.
Yep. We hope you enjoyed our podcast. And if so, please subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Leave us ratings and reviews wherever you can. And please tell your friends to join our book club and read along with us. Guys, we are in the final stretch of this epic that is the Nicolai Dante series.
Y'all know if you've read this thing before, where we're going.
Yeah.
Edie doesn't.
I don't.
So don't spoil it for her.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah. Oh, that's a please at the con.
Yes, yeah.
Edie no spoilers.
So don't spoil it
for
her.
I feel like we need to put up a sign that says no spoilers for Edie, but I feel like maybe that'll invite it. I don't know.
Yes.
Hopefully it won't happen. We'll see.
She doesn't know how this ends.
I don't know how this ends. So follow us on Instagram at PodTGDR. Let us, and our Facebook community, the Great Dante Read-Through, or the thread on the 2000 AD forum. We love your feedback. We love to hear what you're saying. I'm like, am I engaging too much with this content? Because I get overexcited.
She's so excited.
I know. So let us know what you think of the podcast, Dante Comics, whatever is on your mind. I'm Edie.
And I'm Simon.
And we will catch you next time.
Bye.